We can truly say amen to those songs. It's always good to listen to the singing. You know, the Lord loves singing. And we can sing unto the Lord at all times. We have a song that the Lord gave at the outset, the old rugged cross. Now, the cross without Christ would be meaningless. And the Christ without the cross would not bring salvation to us. So we thank God for the old rugged cross, and it was at that cross that the fountain was open. A fountain filled with blood, we sang, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. What is important is what He has done. And He has shed His blood for us. And it says, this blood will never lose its power. That's the blood that prevails. And then He reminded us of the promise of the Lord that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And as she desired the Lord to carry her through, the Lord is willing for every brother, every sister here this morning, this afternoon, He's willing that He would come in for us. And if you trust Him as your Lord and Savior, He will shatter your bondage. Doesn't matter what it is. He's the bondage breaker. Number two, He will shoulder your burden. Doesn't matter how heavy it is, He will carry you through. And you know what? He will shower His blessings upon us. What a person for us. So when we look at the old rugged cross, we look at the fountain filled with blood, we look at His promise that He wouldn't leave us, we want to say in our hearts, He's the fairest. I was meditating on this song, and I don't even know if I can preach today, but as I was meditating upon this song, God touched my heart. It says, fairest Lord Jesus. And our sister's already quoted in Psalm 45:2. He is fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into His lips. Therefore, God has blessed him forever. And then in Luke chapter 4 and verse 22, He says, now out of His mouth proceeded gracious words. What a person for us. Grace is poured into His lips, and out of His mouth proceeded gracious words. And so He says He's the ruler of all nature. Not only is He the ruler of nature, I know I'm getting to preach even before I start, but as I was meditating on this song, it was so sweet. Because over nature, that's the goodness of God, as you know. In Romans chapter, It's found in Romans. No, despisest thou the goodness of God, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. That's the grace of the goodness of God. You know, and so He said here, now this is what touched my life. I didn't want to sing this song. I thank God for the sisters. Thank you so much, sisters Margaret and Rose and Jean and Sister Esther and Sister Julie. But these are the words. Take them home. Meditate upon them. He says, O thou of God and man, the Son, meaning that He's very God, very man. Now these were the words. And I asked myself, as I sat alone with Jesus, and I confessed to Him, Lord, I need Your help. I do not cherish You above all other things. He says, Thee will I cherish. Thee will I honor. Do I cherish Him? Do I honor Him? Thou my soul's glory. He is my glory. Thou my joy. Am I allowing the world to drain my joy? And Thou my crown. So I meditate upon this song. I tell you, I felt such a move in my spirit of God. that you and I might come to that point where we want to cherish him, where we want to honor him, where we want him to be the ruler, not of only the nature, not only of nations, but the ruler of my life. I think that was Romans 2 and verse 4. It just came out to my mind. I'm getting memory deficits sometimes, but thank God for his love and grace. Amen? All right. We want to look at the message today. It's a simple one, but a profound one, as God touched my own heart. In 1 Peter, and that's in the New Testament all the way to the back, 1 Peter, and I'll give you a little time to find it. 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. 1 Peter 2, verse 7. I think we got it. Now, 1 Peter 2, 7, he says, amen. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he, Jesus, is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner. You know what? Let's read the context for this so that you know. Reading from verse 4 of chapter 2. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. He also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore who believes, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. Let us just pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. And we ask now that your Holy Spirit will speak from your word to every heart through this week channel. And you will get all the glory, the praise, and the honor in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. During the past few months, there has been an increase number of suicide, an increased number of divorce, division in the family, disasters nationally and internationally, and many sudden deaths, both nationally and internationally. Satan is desirous of dividing a life. He's desirous of dividing a family. He's desirous of even dividing, quote unquote, churches. He is desirous of dividing the nation. And we cannot turn to the government. We must pray indeed for all those in authority. We must pray. But the answer is not in the government. The answer is in our God who is able. Amen. The answer is not in Congress that is divided, but it is in Christ who is united. Amen. The answer is not in the senators, The answer is in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the message today is a simple one. Staying together, even when the world is falling apart. I want you to know Satan wants to tear us apart, but there is no power that can conquer us when Jesus Christ is on our side. ISIS cannot defeat Jesus Christ. I want you to know the politicians cannot deny his power. The philosophers cannot explain his presence. But I want you to know our God is real. I want you to know today that when everything is falling apart, our God can keep us together. You see, in Colossians 1 and verse 17, he says, by him all things consist. Meaning that he holds everything together. God can hold your life together. He can hold your marriage together. He can hold the assembly together when he is in the midst. When he's the center of your heart, your relationship, your home, your family, and the assembly. And so he can keep us together when the world is falling apart. So how can we stay together when the world is falling apart? I present to you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we must come to the point of one, focusing on the preciousness of Christ. We just read by Peter that he is precious, or his preciousness. We want to look at that very briefly. Number two, he says, to whom is he precious? Oh, not to the world, not to the unbeliever. Hopefully every person here would believe in him. But he says, to whom is he precious? To us who believe. To the believer, he is precious. And so we must focus, we must not forget the people to whom he's precious. That is to the believer. And then number three, we must faithfully remember the reasons why he's precious. And we're going to touch on that very briefly. The fact of redemption, his precious blood. And then finally, we must fervently love one another and proclaim that he says, show forth his praise. Amen. And so that you and I will begin to be not a reservoir, not a dam, but a channel of blessing. And so the first one, you got to understand in the context of this, and the man who has written this, whom God has used, I want you to be encouraged today, because you cannot be too low for Jesus to lift you up. You cannot be too down for him to take you up. Peter, as you remember in Luke 22, he bawled like a baby when he denied Jesus Christ. The Bible says he wept bitterly. He had failed miserably. He was bowed down in the ground, bound by guilt. But glory to God, Jesus Christ, he doesn't give up on us. He reaches out to us. And so Peter was taken from guilt by grace to glory. Hallelujah. And so the same Peter who is writing this, ladies and gentlemen, he had failed, but he had experienced the forgiveness of God. And then he became filled with the Spirit, and then he began to feed the flock and began to be fruitful for God. It doesn't matter who you are today. You might have a form of religion, but ladies and gentlemen, you need a relationship with Jesus Christ if he's going to be precious to you. And so here is Peter. People would challenge Peter. How could Peter write like this? He was an ignorant fisherman. That's found in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. They said, how can these things be? He's an ignorant fisherman. It doesn't mean that he was ignorant. What it means, he was uneducated in the teachings, in the rabbinical teaching.
He didn't know. But I tell you, when any person spends time with Jesus Christ, he can be not only appointed, but anointed for the work of God. And you know, they marveled in Acts 4, chapter 4, verse 13. They said, these are ignorant fishermen. But you know what? They took note that they had been with Jesus. I tell you, when you are in the presence of the Lord Jesus, there's a fragrance. That's why when you leave this place, we want the fragrance of Christ to be expressed outwardly. And so Peter is a man. And you know how he begins in 1 Peter chapter 1? He says, an apostle. The apostle Peter. In verse 1 of Peter, he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Oh, it doesn't matter what people think of you. Amen? It's what God thinks of you. It doesn't matter what others might say about you, is what he says about you. And he says, I want you to know, Peter says, you know, everything about him is precious. When you get chance tonight or sometime, Peter, everything about Jesus is precious. Because he knew what he was. He knew when nobody wanted him. He knew when even they had cast him out of the company of the others. Ladies and gentlemen, people can cast you out of the company of a church, but they cannot cast you out of the company of Christ if you're his. And so Peter knew it all. And Peter now says, he's precious. The Lord is precious. I look up the word precious, and it means to be of high value. It means to be highly esteemed. It means to be highly regarded above all things. And that's what the sister sang, you know. Thee will I cherish. Glory to God. Thee will I cherish. And what it is saying, ladies and gentlemen, if you and I come to trust Jesus Christ, the message today that Jesus Christ must be more precious to me than anything in this world. Number two, he must be more precious to me than any person. Oh, that he might be. My mother used to sing that old song, precious is he, precious to me. Jesus will always be precious to me. Brothers and sisters, is he precious to you? So Peter said, to us who believe, he is precious. You know, the bride in Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 10. She described him as this. You know, we've quoted already, and our sister quoted it for us from the song. He is fairer than the children of men. And the Song of Solomon, the Shunammite woman, the bride, as she looks at him, you know what she said? In Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10, he is the fairest among 10,000. Glory to God. He is the fairest. I've seen others, but there is none like Jesus. There is none like him. We, the bride of Christ, can say he is the fairest of 10,000. You remember that old song they used to sing? I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. In sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. And I change it a little bit now. He's the altogether lovely one. Oh, I know the King James has said he's the lily of the valley, but he's more than that. The lily comes from below, but he is from above. And it's okay because there are so many writings. Now, we're not here to argue that because it begins with capital I and capital A-M. So sometimes they said, okay, he's the lily. But I want you to know the church is the lily in his eyes. But he is the altogether lovely one. Oh, is he sweet to you? Is he precious to you? Oh, brothers and sisters, he is fairer than 10,000. He is the only foundation. When this world is being shattered and shaken and your hopes are shifted, I want you to know you can stand firm on the solid rock. Jesus Christ, the firm foundation. He said in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, for no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, who is Jesus Christ. Oh, we sang that today on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And so we can stay together, brothers and sisters, when everything is falling apart. Because why? Jesus Christ is precious to us. If you can discover for yourself, not just knowing about Jesus, but knowing Him. Oh, we know a lot about many things. You can know about the Bible. You know, I was in the dentist that Sister Jazz referred us to. And the doctor said to me, can I share something with you? I said, sure. He said, you know, the story is told of a man that he came to trust Jesus Christ. But he was so busy with his golf and he was so busy with doing so many things that he passed away not long after. And he appeared. It's just a story, by the way. So keep that in mind. So he said to the daughter, said to me, and he appeared before God. And God asked him, what were you doing while you were down there? He said, well, you know, I was busy. I was busy. I was doing some golfing. And I did a lot of readings and a lot of books. And he said, have you read my book? And he looked at God. He said, God, have you written a book? Have you written a book? And he said, yes. I want you to know, we need to know the author of this book. Amen. We want to read this book to know Jesus Christ. He has written a book. And so we come to the point. So number one, we can stay together even when the world is falling apart by focusing on the preciousness of Christ. And he says, you know, to whom he's precious. So we must never forget the people to whom he is precious. He is precious. He said in verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. To those who believe. Oh, how is it with you, my friend? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? I was going to ask you if you're a Christian, but, you know, thank God for Christians, amen? And the believers were like little Christ, were called Christians in Antioch, you remember that? But the world in which we live now, almost everyone who is not Jewish says they are Christians. But a Christian is one, you can't be a Christian without Christ, amen? That's why the word Christian. And when you analyze the word, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, it means Christ, I-S, is, A, all, and now. Christ is all now for my salvation. None other name. Acts 4:12 says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There are a lot of people who believe in God, but they do not believe in Jesus. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You must come to God through Jesus Christ. And so he must be precious to us who believe. And you know, all of the Gospel of John. Do you know the whole Gospel of John is written for the fact that we might believe? Did you know that? You can go through over and over in the Gospel of John and you find believing. Believe, like for example, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. In John 5:24, he said, you know, again, he said, if you believe, you'll be passed from death unto life. But the whole Gospel of John is written that you might believe. Did you know that? You find the answer in John chapter 20 and verse 31. Jesus told them, these things are written that you might believe. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Oh, hallelujah. It is so easy. You don't have to be educated to believe. Amen. You don't have to be religious. You can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, number one, when the world is falling apart, when your life, everything, we need to believe in the Lord Jesus. We are the one to whom Christ becomes precious. And then number two, not only must we not forget, but we must remember the reasons why he's precious. And that's what I want to look at very briefly. He is precious because to us, that's why we would stay together. We are in the same family, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what? We all came in the same way into the family. You see, God has prescribed it that way. You know, in chapter 1, 1 Peter 1, 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now hold your hand and turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 3. The Gospel of John chapter 3. Because there was a religious man, a man that was well honored, a man that was recognized, a man who was a teacher. But in John chapter 3, he came to Jesus. What a person to come to. In John chapter 3, the Gospel of John, he says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you all are very intelligent, and it's a joy to be among you and to share with you. You know, every person, every child that comes into the world has two parents. It doesn't matter if it's insemination or whatever they might call it, but every person who comes into this world has two parents. And so God, in his infinite wisdom, he said, now, in the natural realm, you need two parents. In the spiritual realm, you still have two parents. You have, number one, the Spirit of God. Amen. And number two, you have the Word of God. And we've got to be born again by the Spirit of God. And be born again by the Word of God. By believing. And no person, when we enter this family, we all came in the same way. So we can stay together because we are in the same family. Amen. Oh, don't get yourself. This is, you know, Grace and Truth is not a white church. Grace and Truth is not a black church. Grace and Truth is not a rainbow church. Grace and Truth is a group of believers who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we will acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. That's the assembly here. And so we can stay together because, number one, we are born into the same. If you're not born again, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, you may be religious, you might be close, but you're lost. But thank God, he loves you as you are, and he brings you to himself. And you must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Number two, the reasons why we can stay together is because we're in the same family, but we are redeemed at the same price. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. And by the way, we don't have time now, but Jesus is so precious to Peter that in Peter he used seven times preciousness. Seven times complete. Everything about Jesus is precious. Here is his precious blood. In 1 Peter 1 verse 19 and 20 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, he was speaking of being redeemed. Maybe verse 18 for connection. First Peter chapter 1, reading, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Ladies and gentlemen, we are all. There was none who he had to pay more money for than the other. Amen? And this has the idea, when he was writing this, this took back Peter and also the Apostle Paul when he was writing back to the time of slavery. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have studied slavery, you would understand that redemption here implies three things. Three things. One, the person who was paying the price would go to the slave market and he would pay the price in full for that slave. That's number one. And Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he paid the price in full with his precious blood. He didn't make a down payment, ladies and gentlemen, and say, "Look up your account, it's almost paid." It is paid in full. Number two, those of you who have studied it, not only, number one, he must go to the slave market where the slave is there, and he would pay the price in full. But number two, he would not leave the slave in the slave market. He would bring the slave to his place, to his property. And Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, as we're going to see, he has brought us from darkness into light. Amen. He not only paid the price for us and left us there. Jesus, when he came in Luke 15, he found the lost sheep. He didn't just come where the sheep was, and he didn't just leave the sheep, but he took the sheep home. Jesus Christ not only comes to save us, but he came to remove us from the slave market. And then in the third thing is this, that when they purchased the slave, they paid the price in full in the slave market. Number two, they took the slave out of the slave market. But number three, when he got home, the chains were removed. He was set free. And that's, brothers and sisters, our redemption. I remember one time, you know, in Hunter College, I sat there and I wept in my seat. Even though the lectures were great and they were presenting so many things, I saw myself as a slave, once to Satan, to sin. They were just talking of slavery, but there was something that touched me while I was in that class with my fellow students. And the professor said, "You know, in those days, they bought the slaves, they paid the price, they brought them home, and they worked on their property." But these were the words that touched my heart. He said, "You know, but when the slaves got older, when they were not productive, they would put the slaves up for sale again at a cheaper price. And someone would buy that slave." And I said, "Thank God that Jesus has bought us and he will never, ever put us up for sale again. We are redeemed and we're his. And nothing will separate us from his love." Brothers and sisters, you don't have to know about Jesus a lot. You just have to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And he will never, ever put us up for sale again. When we are old and crippled and cannot do anything, his love is just the same for us. Redemption. And now we must come to the other point. So we can stay together when we recognize, brothers, and we're in the same family. We are redeemed by the same blood. And for a brief time, he puts us in the same building. He's the living stones, and he puts us into the building as living stones with him. Do you know when Jesus was speaking of the church, the first time he's speaking about the church, did you know he likened it like a building? Yes. In Matthew 16:18, you remember Peter, he made the confession when they were asking, who do men say that I am? And remember Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you remember how Jesus said, upon this confession, meaning on Peter's confession, not on Peter, that Jesus, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. This is why I believe God is going to bless grace and truth, and the powers of hell will not prevail. Because our hearts are anchored in Him. He is the builder, brothers and sisters. We are in the same family. We are redeemed by the same blood, the same price. And we are in the same building. And we can function together. Now he said, in light of all this, that nothing can take us apart when Christ is precious to us, when we do not forget why he's precious to us and how he has redeemed us and the price he has paid. Now he said, I want you to show forth his praise. I want you now to go forth and tell it, to proclaim it. You know, I want to tell you this story very briefly. It's not a story, by the way. This one is a reality. You know, in Florida, we have sprinkler system. Whoever might be listening to this message, I want you to know, in Florida, many homes, many properties, many places, there are sprinklers there on the lawn or on the land. Well, just a couple of weeks ago, the sprinklers head was not functioning. Person who perhaps was cutting the grass, I don't know, I don't want to make any accusation. But the head was off. And so I went out there and I couldn't get it fixed. So I called Brother Fields. Brother Fields is a man of God with a ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, when you see this man, you don't hear a ministry, you see a ministry. And that man came. He tried to fix it. And I was learning. The Lord was witnessing to me. He cleaned out the area, you know, and he took off the old one. He put on this new one that we bought, you know, the extension and then the head. And he said, Brother John, go and turn on the water. So I went and I turned on the water. The force of the water was there. And you know what happened? The head would not come up. The sprinkler head would not come up. And he's a good workman, excellent workman. So he tried, I turned off, turned on again, he twisted, nothing happened. He said, you have the receipt? I'll take back this one to Home Depot. So I said, yes, I have the receipt. I said, let me go with you. He said, no, I will go. So he sat in the van, and that man took everything apart. I had never seen it, even not just taking out the spring, but there's a little... what you call it there, brother?
Washer.
A filter. A little filter in the top of that, the head of it. And he took it out and he said, look, Brother John, when we put on the water, the force that came up, there was still some dirt. And the dirt just hit the bottom of that filter. And he said, you know, I'm going to wash it. He washed it clean. He blew it out. And he put it back on. And he said, turn on the water. My, the water came up. Beautiful. Beautiful. But I want to share with you something spiritual. I want to share something that the Lord witnessed to me. You might be looking good on the outside. You might be a good preacher. You might be a good teacher. But I want to tell you, if there's any blockage in our lives, if there is any secret sin, it will hinder the moving of the Spirit of God. Number two, just that one sprinkler, and those of you who know about sprinklers know a lot, that one sprinkler was affecting the power in all the other sprinklers. One person's life can impact a family and can impact a fellowship. When the water was not flowing, the grass was beginning to dry up. And you know, flowing water always speaks, once it is flowing, it speaks of the Holy Spirit. Anytime you read of flowing water or rivers, you remember in John 7:37, he said, if any man thirst, let him come and drink. For the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, if we are going to stay together, which we are by God's grace, we are going to be not only seeing the preciousness of Christ, and precious to me than anything in this world, anyone in this world, he must be more precious to me. And then I must see why he's so precious to me. He brought me into his family and he'll never put me out. To see that he purchased me with his precious blood, the Lord himself paid it in full, and he will never put me up for sale again. And then to see that now he wants me to display his love and grace to others. But I want to close with this. Hallelujah. He said he called them. He says he called us out from darkness into his marvelous light. That's a contrast, isn't it? A big contrast to being darkness into his marvelous light. You know, for Egypt, it took 3 days of darkness when judgment was coming. For the Lord Jesus, it took him 3 hours on the cross when darkness fell and all the judgment. But this is what came to my heart. We are going to be together. Hallelujah. We can be together when the world is falling apart. Because you know what? Not only is he precious to us, not only do we understand how precious he is to us, not only we see the price he paid for redemption and now the proclamation, but he wants us to love one another fervently. Fervently with a pure heart. Ladies and gentlemen, don't fool yourself. I have fooled myself enough. It's time to stop it. You cannot fool yourself to say you have a passionate love for Christ if you do not have a pure love for your brothers and sisters. Amen. We need brothers and sisters. I'm not saying that negative. You know, the devil likes to hold up the rearview mirror when you're driving. So when you look at it, you're going to crash because you want to see what's behind you. Amen. That's what the devil likes to do. He wants to keep from looking for where you're going. And he likes to bring up all the bad things, all the negative things. But I want you to know Satan has been defeated and there's victory in Jesus Christ. And when we have a passionate love for Christ, we are going to have a pure, fervent love for one another. And when we think of our weakness, we're going to take it to the Lord in prayer. Not put it up for publication. Amen? But now, hallelujah. Let's close with this. He called us together. So now, do you know what he's going to do? Oh, he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, you know what? He's going to call us out, not only from the power of sin, but from the very presence of sin. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Hallelujah. He's going to call us. We are going to be caught up, and he's going to be together, brothers and sisters, with him forever. We are going to the Father's land, a land that is fairer than day. A land, brothers and sisters, where the rose will never grow dim, never fade, where sickness will never invade, death will never divide, ISIS will never prevail. We are going to, beloved, be with Jesus forever and ever. May as well today we say, Lord, by your grace, we are going to stay together and not allow the world that is falling apart to impact us. It won't be long. We'll be going home. May God help us as families that you're going to say, we are going to stay together and allowing Christ to be precious to us than anything, than anyone. In the assembly, you're going to say, he is altogether lovely. He is so precious that we are not going to allow any indifference to ever take us apart, but we are going to be together because soon we shall be together forever, for his name's sake.
Amen.